unique time, and we had a lot of fun. But one of the things that I enjoyed growing up was the holiday tournaments. I always went on basketball tournaments. Rich, up in Central Illinois, did they have high school tournaments during Christmas time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right now, my dad called me tonight while I was sitting back there, and he was telling me all the scores of all the basketball games today at the El Dorado tournament in El Dorado, Illinois, and was talking about that. But back in 1971-72 season, my brother, who's 10 years older than me, Bob, played on a basketball team that went 27-1. And they lost in the regional finals that year in Illinois. And I went to a podunk school. He went to a podunk school. And if you don't know what a podunk school is, it's so far out in the sticks, you have to import sticks from someplace else. There was about 120 people that was in my whole high school. And it was probably less than that when my brother was there. And so, but they had a really good basketball team for several years in a row. Matter of fact, they was the only team that year to beat the state champion basketball team that year, the Ridgeway. Eagles went and won the state championship, and they had a record where they had lost one. They lost it to little bitty old Enfield High School. But the neat thing about that team was, and I was not real old at that, I was not real old at that time, but I remember going watching them play. I remember watching them play, and they had a game plan. When they went to play, I mean, it was pretty simple. It was really simple game plan, but it was very effective. They had some pretty tall guys, and so their plan was they would pass inside, and if a shot was not on the inside, they would kick it back out to the outside and for the perimeter shot. And they had a couple guys out there that could knock them down. This was the days before three-point shots. The old three-point back then was if you got fouled shooting, you got the chance to make a free throw. And it's back before the arch and the three-point shots like we have now. But that team averaged 92 points a game for the year. They averaged 92 points a game without the three-point. No telling what they would add if they could have counted all the points that they would have shot from outside the arc. But they had a game plan. They knew, and they pressed. I mean, after every made shot, they had a full-court press that they put on the other team. It was just, you know, even as a young person, I remember watching that team play and knowing that they had a game plan and they was going to stick with their game plan. And as a result, they won every game but one that year. You know, as believers in Jesus Christ, we need to have a game plan in our life. We need to have a game plan because the battles are going to come. If you have battles in 2007, I promise you, you'll have battles in 2008. They'll not be any different in 2008 than what it was in 2007. Matter of fact, they may be worse this year than it was last year. You say, well, I hope not. I hope not too, but you never know. You never know what you're going to have to face. You never know what you're going to have to go through. But I promise you, you need to have a game plan when the enemy comes at you. You see, I didn't talk about my brother's team and their defense. I mainly talked about their offense and what they did to score the points that they scored. Because it was, like I said, an average 92 points a game. They had a tremendous offense. And the last few weeks, we've been talking about spiritual weapons that we have, the offensive weapons that we have as believers. We looked, first of all, in Revelation, where it says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and loved not their lives to death. That was the first three offensive weapons we talked about. It's the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and surrendering our life to Jesus. Surrendering every part of us to Jesus. And then, last week we talked about the name of Jesus. And at the name of Jesus, the devil has to flee. At the name of Jesus, we have victory in our Christian walk. And today, I'm going to talk about the word of God. The word of God will give you victory in your walk. The word of God will give you victory in every area of your life when you bring it and surrender your life to the word of God. The passage of scripture that we have are going to look at tonight is in Psalms 119. Psalms 119, and you know that Psalms 119 is broken out in the alphabet of the Hebrew. The Hebrew alphabet is broken out that way, and for each section has a section of the Hebrew alphabet, and this is the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. But if you look over and over again in Psalms 119, you'll find it talking about the Word of God. You'll find it talking about meditating on the Word of God. You'll find it talking about the precepts of the Word of God and the very aspects of His Word and how that it brings victory in our life. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is a very, very powerful weapon. Matter of fact, it is the only tool that's used, an offensive weapon that's given to us in Ephesians chapter 6. When Paul was talking about putting on the whole armor of God, the only offensive weapon that was mentioned in all of that armor was a sword, which is the Word of God. So let's listen to what Psalms 119 says about the Word of God. Psalms 119. And verse 9 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. By keeping your word. I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. That's what God's word says. I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured, or I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Lord, may you be praised. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I proclaim all the judgments from your mouth. I rejoice in the way revealed by your decrees as much as all the riches. I will meditate on your precepts and I will think about your ways. I will delight in all your statutes. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Boy, what a message right there in God's word for us tonight. What a message that God has given. You know, we've talked about these other weapons, and it's kind of like having a gun but not having any bullets. And so I've given you bullets the last few weeks, but now I'm giving you the gun to be able to actually shoot the bullets in. And the weapons that you can have to fight the battles that you're going to be facing, that you will face, is right here. That the gun is the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. There's some boys down in Arkansas back in the 1950s and 60s, and Bobby Boyles was one of those boys that just used to run around and create havoc in people's lives. And they had this one widow lady she always grew a real nice flower bed. How many of you know what I'm talking about? A real nice flower bed, and you know, maybe grow. How many of you ladies have had a real nice flower bed? Okay. Have you ever had a real nice flower bed and then something comes and just destroys it? Just wipes it out? Well, these boys, being ornery boys that they were, they would back up into this lady's flower bed and they would peel out. Now, you got to remember, it's back then. They just get with it. Flowers would go everywhere. And the lady would come out waving a gun. She'd wave her gun, and you boys get out of here. But it didn't bother them because they knew that she didn't know how to shoot that gun. Did not bother them one iota. And then the police, and she would report it to the police, and the police would come out, and nothing would happen. You know, and so finally the police one day got tired of it, and they took the lady, and they took her to the shooting range, and they taught her how to use her gun. And they gave her bullets. Probably wasn't the wisest choice there ever was, but it wasn't long till here these boys was backed up in her flower bed, and she ran out on the porch waving her gun, and they didn't pay no attention, and she pulled it down, went bang, 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 and three holes right in the back of the tailgate of the truck. Needless to say, the boys never came back and peeled out in her flower bed again. You see, the difference was she had the gun all along. It was hers, and she actually had bullets all along, but she did not know how to use it. But one day, somebody came along, taught her how to use the gun. And boy, I tell you what, it made all the difference in the world. Sometimes we know we have all these weapons, but until you use the weapons in the spiritual battles that you're facing, they're not going to be any good to you. They're not going to be any good to you whatsoever. So here's tonight, there's four categories that I want to share with you. Four words that I want to help you with as you begin looking at the Word of God tonight. First of all, you need to categorize it. You need to categorize God's Word. And when I'm talking about that, first of all, you need to take inventory of your spiritual needs. You need to take inventory of your spiritual needs. What are some areas that you are prone to struggle in your life? And I would suggest that you take some time, and I asked you to meditate last week on the name of Jesus. I asked you to spend 10 minutes this week just meditating and thinking about the name of Jesus and the power that's in that name. Just spend some time in that thinking about how powerful he really is in the name of Jesus. But here's what I want you to do as part of this message tonight, is I want you to categorize some of the spiritual needs that you have in your life, some of the areas of your life that you may struggle in more than other areas of your life. And I want you to put those down. I want you to write them down on a piece of paper. And if it's private, don't let anybody see the paper. But keep it where nobody will be looking. And so, but write down some of the areas that you have in your life that you struggle with on a regular basis. Put them down. Write them down. And then I want you to open up the Word of God and see what God's Word has to say about those particular areas of your life that you're struggling with. Whatever area that you're struggling with, I believe God's Word will speak to that area of your life. So you need to categorize the spiritual needs that you have and the areas in your life that you seem to be attacked in more than any other area. And I challenge you to categorize those and then find out what God's Word says about that. Find scriptures that address the needs in your life. I have here a book that fell out. But I have tonight a Bible called the Thompson Chains Reference Bible. And this is probably my third or fourth one that I have gotten since I was saved in 1983. My sister and brother-in-law bought me my first Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and it was like it was just wonderful. I don't know how to describe it to you, because it is divided up in topics. And alongside of the Scripture, it gives you a list of topics, and in the back, it gives you a list of all the topics and Scripture references to those topics. And this made Bible study come alive for me. This made Bible study because it helped me deal with some categories in my life that I was struggling with. It helped me deal with some areas in my life that I was trying to overcome at that time in the spiritual battles I was facing. I could go into the back and say, hey, this is what God's Word says about this topic. This is what God's Word says about this. I would challenge you to find you some type of Bible that you can really get into and study and have some references for you so that you can categorize and find scriptures to deal with those particular areas of your life. And I don't think you'll find much a better one than the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. It was kind of neat. A few months ago, I was in Illinois, and I had bought a guy a copy of the Thompson Chain Reference Bible several months before he was actually saved. And he was studying God's Word. It's kind of a neat guy. He kept bringing people to church with him, and their lives was getting changed and straightened out. But he had never surrendered his life to Jesus. So he began to look at God's Word, began to study God's Word, and then he surrendered his life to Jesus. He surrendered his life to Jesus, and we were talking about the Scripture, and we were talking about the Thompson Chain. He said, thank you for buying me that Bible, because it has helped me overcome so many areas of my life that I struggled in. It has helped me overcome. You see, the Word of God's powerful. The Bible says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It divides the soul and the spirit. There's nothing else in the whole wide world that can separate the soul and the spirit. You know, when they did surgery on me a few months ago, they separated a lot of things. Boom, right there. They separated right through there. And they took the lining in my heart, and they opened it up. And they opened my heart up, and they sealed it up. I'm thankful for that. And they used some glue in there when they did that, too. I found that interesting. But you know, they can do all that, and they can, with lasers, they can do very precision type of surgery. But they can't separate soul and the spirit. There's only one thing that can do that, and that's the Word of God. And so when you categorize the Scripture, and you take it and you apply it to the areas of your life that you're struggling in, God will win a victory and Satan will be defeated. I really believe that we need to find these areas of our life. And then after we categorize the Scripture, then we're going to do something that's a little bit difficult, and that's memorize Scripture. How many find that you have trouble memorizing Scripture? Let me ask you, how many of you know your name? Just thought I'd ask. How many of you know where you live? You know your address. There for a while, we moved around so much, I didn't know. Do you know your address yet, Nancy? I'm not in Montana. Okay. But, you know, we know our address. How many of us know your telephone number? You guys are pretty good at memorizing. You say, well, that's a little bit different. But I challenge you in 2008 to memorize God's Word. And I'll work along with you and especially the next few months and memorizing God's Word. You have gifts back there for Christmas. If you didn't get one last week, you can pick one up this week. And it's a daily Bible reading calendar. You may have a bunch of calendars, but this will help you read God's Word through in a year. Now, you can read it through faster than that if you want to, or you can take longer than that if you want to, but I challenge you to get into God's Word, and this will help you read through God's Word in a year. But I challenge you to memorize it, to take God. Now, if you can memorize it all in a year, you're doing really well. You say, well, I'm just not really good at it. Practice makes perfect. There was a guy, I'm talking about people from Arkansas. I was only there for about 9 months. That was long enough. And at school, Bible college down there. But there's a guy I met while I was there. His name was David Miller. David Miller come to preach at chapel one day. And I'd heard about David before, but I'd never seen him. He was in a wheelchair. He had a muscular disease, and they propped him up to preach. They helped him up and looked really uncomfortable. They put a cane in his back back there, and he stood, and he locked his hands to the pulpit. He couldn't. They had his Bible turned to the page where he was preaching from that day. But one time David said, I think people who run to the pulpit are arrogant. But because they had a wheelchair him up there and stuff. Now David preaches from a wheelchair. But that day he read a passage of Scripture, actually he quoted a passage of Scripture, and when he got done quoting a passage of Scripture, I noticed when he was quoting it that he had messed up and left out part of the Scripture. Now he had left part of the Scripture out, but nobody was going to say anything to David about leaving out a portion of Scripture because he had the Scripture memorized. I thought, didn't have it memorized real well because he left out a portion of it. And so I would just kind of, in the middle of the sermon, now you got to remember this is a whole room full of preachers and staff and all. He said, I want to tell you folks something. He said, today I read a text and I didn't read it correctly and nobody corrected me. He said, when you open up the Word of God, make sure that you do it accurately. And if somebody reads it wrong, correct them. He had you feeling about like that big. But David Miller has the Bible memorized from cover to cover. He only has it memorized in one version, but a couple other ones as well by now. And here's what he told us that day in chapel. He said, you know, I would have never been able to memorize the Word of God had I not had the ailment and the condition that I have. I found myself knowing very little of the Word of God sitting in a hospital room. And so he said, I decided I must memorize it if I was ever going to be able to preach and be effective. And he memorized the whole thing. David Miller can have you crying 1 minute and laughing the next from the pulpit. Great man of God. But one of the things that is so impressive is he has it right there, the Word of God. You know, you and I, maybe you do better than I do, but there's times I struggle with the discipline of reading, let alone memorizing very much Scripture. And what I'm going to try to do is memorize at least a verse a week. Memorizing the Scripture for some people is easy, but it's not necessarily easy for me. I was in Romania a few years ago, and the guy said, if you will memorize Psalms 119, I'll give you this Bible. And it was a really nice Bible, and you know, they really, the kids that were at this camp, really wanted to have a copy of that of the scripture because it was really nice. And he said, "I'll get it personalized for you, your name on the front of it and everything." And he gave that challenge out, and there was five of the students that memorized Psalms 119 in less than 1 week. They memorized all of, and they had to quote it to him. He would take them aside, and they would quote him all of Psalm 119. And then he'd go back, and he'd pick out portions of it, and they'd have to tell it to him. And he gave each one of them a copy of the scripture. Hide God's word in your heart. Memorize God's word, because I promise you, when you memorize God's word, and the attacks of the enemy will come against you, and the battles that you're in, you're going to be raging. It's going to be the gun that you're going to be able to shoot the bullets with. It's going to be the gun that's going to be able to give you victory in the battles you're going to be facing. How would you like to go to war without any weapons? You get defeated pretty quickly. And so we're talking about these weapons here, and just like that lady who had the gun all along, but she didn't know how to use it. And folks, the Word of God is powerful. Memorize it. We memorize what we want to memorize. Some people can tell you all the different statistics on different players that play in the NFL or any baseball or any other sport. We memorize what we want to. I have a guy down in Texas. He could tell me everything I ever wanted to know about a strain of dogs. And there's times after an hour, I don't care. I'm sorry, I don't care no more about a great-great-great-great-great-grandma of this dog. It don't really impress me. But he knows it because it impresses him. He likes to know all that stuff. It does not impress me a whole lot. We memorize what we want to memorize. We memorize Scripture. When you begin to use the process of memory, it'll help you from getting dementia. It'll help you because it keeps your brain active. And Lord knows my brain needs to be a little bit more active. And somebody asked me the other day, "Do you have ADD? And I said, "I don't know." But anyway, because I was talking about something, just jumped completely off somewhere else. And so I may have that. I don't know. But I do know that when I memorize Scripture, it helps me, helps my mind to be clear. It helps my mind to be quick. And we need to memorize God's Word, because it'll help us in our memory and our thinking skill. Most of you know that my mom suffered from dementia and from the results of strokes and heart attack. But it was amazing. There were some things that my mom had retention of until the day she died. The last time that we went to church, I went to the one-room church that I grew up in. And when I went there, I started to say grew up in as a kid. That's the way you grow up. But anyway, I went to that church. And when my mom, she wanted to stand. And here she was in a wheelchair, but she wanted to stand when everybody else was standing and singing. And they called the page number, and she leaned over and told me what song it was going to be. Of course, they probably sang it every Sunday for years, but nonetheless, she told me every song that day, she told me what song it was going to be before we ever opened up the book, because she knew. My sister and her daughter-in-law came and began to sing at the nursing home where my mom was at, and for almost 2 hours, they sang songs, and Mom knew every one of them. My mom wouldn't make any sense out of anything she said. And when she began to pray, you could understand every word, and it was clear. And when we got done praying and said amen, it was back the other way. When we talked about the Word of God, she was sharp. May not be in any other area of her life, but it was sharp in those areas. Memorize Scripture, because it'll stay with you. And then what you need to do is personalize the Scripture. Take the Scripture and make it personal to you. You personalize it, and when you're using the Word of God in defense against the devil, personalize the Scripture. Here's the way that I personalize Scripture in my own life. My life verse is Psalms 32:8. It says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go, and I'll guide you with mine eye." When you personalize the Scripture, it says, "I will instruct you," it says, "I will instruct Ken. And teach Ken in the way that Ken will go, he will go, the way that Ken will go, and I will guide Ken with my eye. I tell you what, I like that when we take the scripture, when you have the pronouns in there where it's applicable, that you put your name in that passage of scripture. There's lots of other scriptures that I have and that I do that with because it helps me. It helps me in my spiritual battles. It helps me to fight against the attacks when the enemy comes against me. To be able to say, no, Ken doesn't have to think that way. I don't have to think that because it's personalized. It's making the scripture come alive to me. So the scripture that we have in there, I've hidden God's word in Ken's heart so that Ken won't sin against you. That makes it a lot more personal, doesn't it? Ken's hidden your word in his heart that Ken won't sin against you. That makes it personal. And God wants his word to be personal. Do you have a personal Savior in Jesus Christ? If you have a personal Savior in Jesus Christ, then you have a personal word from God today. That God wants his word to be personal in your life. And when you take the scripture and begin to personalize it, and you see yourself in that situation, when you see yourself in the Word of God, God has a way of working His will in your life. And the enemy hates it when you're in His Word. How many has found that it's one of the most difficult things to do is to have a consistency in God's Word? I find, I don't know about anybody else, but I'm just being honest with you. There's been times that everything and under the sun will come up and try to get me out of His Word. Well, you could be doing this, or man, you've got a busy day today. Why don't you just cut your Bible reading down a little bit? You don't need to read so much anyway. I challenge you to read it, categorize God's Word, memorize God's Word, and then personalize God's Word. Make it personal for you. And then, number four, spiritualize it. That means that you ingest into your spirit the Word of God. Now, one scripture in the Old Testament, God told the prophet to eat the Word. I guess that would be digesting it. Eat the scroll up. And he said, it was sweet to my taste, but it became very bitter once I ate it. I imagine paper would be bitter. And the parchment that they wrote it on at that day and time. But when you spiritualize God's Word, this is a transition here from just memorizing and categorizing it and personalizing it. But this is where it actually feeds your spirit. Probably another way of talking about this would be meditating on it, allowing it to sink through, to get through your mind. You know, when I'm driving, and I drove a lot this past week. Goodness gracious, did I drive a lot. And this last week, and on the way down to Illinois, last Sunday afternoon, it was really fun. We had a crosswind. It would blow me this way, then it would blow me back that way, then it would be a whiteout. And so, you know, it was a long trip, about a little over 10 hours to where we were going. I had a lot of time, and I could do a lot of different things. And one of the things that helps me when I'm driving is to get something and think about it. And focus on it. And sometimes I promise you, what I'm thinking about is not the most healthy thing in the world to think about, or the best thing in the world to think about. Do you ever meditate and digest something or ingest something that makes it internal for you that's not good for you? We can do that. And there's some things that's not necessarily bad or you know, I've built buildings driving down the road. I've worked through problems driving down the road and process of what happened. But sometimes I get something on my mind, it just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling. And when I found it, when it's not healthy, I try to take that's not healthy and bring it to one of those categories in the Word of God and finding God's Word to meditate and allow God's Word to come inside and to take over. There's a lot about meditation that's being spoken about today. And a lot, most of it comes from a non-Christian perspective. Most of it is totally, when you think of meditation, you think of somebody with their legs crossed, and if I do that, I'll never get up again. And they got their hands up here, you know, and I'm not going to demonstrate it for you. But anyway, you think of something like that, and because of the soothingness of yoga or something else, I challenge you to begin to memorize God's Word, personalize God's Word, and then spiritualize it, meditate on it, allow it to come inside and block everything else out. Because it says that it's a sword. It says that in the battles that you're going to be facing in 2008 and the battles that you have faced this year, God's Word will help you. God's Word will give you victory over some of the areas that you've struggled with for years. Takes God's Word. Meditate on it. You say, well, how do you do that? I'm glad you asked. Because one of the ways that's been good for me is I take index cards. And I take those index cards and I'll handwrite the scripture in them. And I use those to memorize it. But then I begin to focus on it and just try to put everything else and spiritualize it to my life. That means in times when I'll do what I did to this outline tonight, I'll take, and I have treasured your word. And I will think about that phrase there. Have I treasured God's word? And I will just meditate and put everything else. Think about it. Have I treasured your word? Is it the prized treasure of my life? Or are there other things that I treasure more so than I treasure your word? Has it become that into me? And then talk about, I've treasured, where do you treasure God's word at? We have a copy of God's word, and folks, as Americans, we need to be thankful that we have God's word. Because there's places around the world that don't have what we have. I have more Bibles sitting on my study at home than the most preachers around the world will ever have in their lifetime. I have them in different versions. I can punch up on my computer and have every translation and English translation that there is at my fingertips like that. I have a treasure. I have a treasure. And it's not just a treasure sitting on the shelf. Sitting on my desk is not a treasure. But it becomes a treasure to me when it's hidden in my heart. It becomes a treasure to me when I spiritualize it and it's hidden deep within my heart. And you say, well, you know, what good is that? Because I promise you, when the enemy comes, and he will, when that treasure is hidden in your heart, you have immediate access to it through the Spirit of God. You see, if you're a believer in the Spirit of God, you have immediate access to Spirit. What you've hidden in your heart, he will bring to your knowledge when you need it. But you've got to treasure it. You've got to hide it there. That's the reason I want to teach my kids the Word of God. Andrea, bless your heart. Would you come here a minute? She hates it when I do this, and I've not done this in a long, long time. And I'm going to put her on the spot, and she has no clue what I'm getting ready to do. I watched this little girl get in front of a video camera when she was about 3 years old, and she would go, I'm funny, I'm funny, I'm funny, I tell you, I'm funny. And you know, Mom would be trying to take a video of Lucas, and Andrea would jump in front of her and smile and wave. And poor KJ, he was just a little bitty old thing then, just crawling around. And she would jump down and get in front of her. But anyway, this past week, we got a chance to watch some of our VHS tapes, and we're dubbing them over to DVDs. And I watched this little girl do something that just blessed my heart. And I'm going to ask her to do it again. Go for it.
Before me in the presence of my enemies, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Amen. From 3 years old, she remembered the Word of God. Memorize it, or categorize it, memorize it, personalize it, and spiritualize it. It'll make all the difference in your life.